A landmark court ruling is due today on abortion law in Northern Ireland. Really significant day, this. It's all about whether abortions should be allowed here in cases of fetal abnormality and in cases of rape and incest. The High Court judge, Mr. Justice Horner, last month ruled that not permitting abortion in these cases breaches the European Convention on Human Rights. He's expected to finalise his judgment today with different options open to him. Dr. Fiona Bloomer is a University of Ulster lecturer and an expert in abortion law. Morning to you, Fiona.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Marianne Woods from the anti-abortion group Life NI is with us. Good morning, Marianne.
Morning, Stephen.
Well, I was saying good morning. I was saying, Fiona, a very significant day this, and this could be a game changer for Northern Ireland.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a historic day. There's been a movement over a number of years to change the law on abortion in Northern Ireland. And obviously, particularly heightened because of the case of Sarah Yurt, who came to your show 2 years ago with her story. What the ruling today, I mean, well, first of all, what the judge said last month was historic in that he said that, denying access to abortion for fetal abnormality cases and rape and incest did contravene international standards of human rights law. And he made it very clear that he recognised that the current restrictions on the law had a serious impact on women, and particularly those from lower income groups. I mean, he made it very clear this is an issue about social class as well, that if you're middle class, you have a range of options open to you, and that if you're from a lower socioeconomic group, your options are very, very restricted. So he very much listened to the evidence from a number of parties on that and made it very clear that he took that on board about all of those limitations.
I think what we should do this morning is actually set out what is ahead of us today. So we know this ruling's coming in, but let's look at the different options that there are, if we take stock in this. So one option that the judge has, which it would be controversial, wouldn't it? It's to interpret the existing law to permit abortions in cases of fetal abnormality and sexual crime. So that is what's called reading down.
Yeah.
There's another option for the judge. Alternatively, he can officially declare that the existing law is incompatible with the European Convention, and that would put the onus back with the Assembly. If the politicians don't then agree a way forward, further legal challenges could follow. If we look at what the judge also said in his ruling, he said the following. There's a strong argument that any decision to prosecute in such cases would also be an abuse of the law. So in other words, could he rule that there should be no prosecutions on these grounds, as it would be disproportionate? And then does Barry McGrory, then does the Public Prosecution Service have to get involved in this? Marianne Woods, what's your reaction to all of this?
Well, first of all, I guess we don't know what the judge is going to say, obviously, yet this morning. I mean, again, we're very concerned about the initial ruling that came out a week and a half ago and some of the information that was in it. You know, I've said to you before, Stephen, about a week ago, especially in relation to some of the affidavits sworn, especially paragraph 29, where actually it's achondroplasia is cited as the, if you like, determinant fetal abnormality. In this case, achondroplasia is not a fetal abnormality, and we'd be very concerned about that. So, I mean, looking at this, we are deeply worried about the way forward and what it opens the door to going forward in the future.
This, by the way, could be appealed. And the legal battles could go on for years. The Attorney General, his name's John Larkin, he's already signalled that he's likely to appeal. So the battles around this could go on for many, many years. So what do you want to happen, Marianne? Are you saying no change in the law whatsoever? Is that your dream today?
Yeah, that would be it. Yeah, no change in the law, because there are better ways of helping women through something like this. For example, perinatal hospice care. That's where we need to be putting our money in Northern Ireland, into perinatal hospice care, where we can walk with the women through these very difficult situations, and where we can provide more life-affirming choices.
But surely, Marianne, if you got your way, right? Yeah. And if there were to be no change in the law today, that means the uncertainty that has caused a lot of the confusion in Northern Ireland among medics, among professionals, among people who want to get an abortion and are wondering whether it's lawful or not, that uncertainty would continue. Let me explain what I mean, of course, with this. So in Northern Ireland, abortions, they're only permitted if a woman's life is at risk or if there's permanent or long-term serious risk to her mental or physical health, right? So if a woman is a rape victim, if she's been raped and she's carrying a child of a rapist, does that mean that she's at long-term serious risk to her mental health? Uncertainty in that in itself.
Yeah, I can appreciate what you're saying, Stephen. And I mean, it's not a black and white issue. And absolutely, I agree. And right in the centre of this is the woman and her unborn child. And so, you know, absolutely. And they must be put first. And that there's no question of that. I mean, I guess what we have to remember is that we have psychiatrists, the Northern Ireland doctors, Northern Ireland, who will know whether that is the case, and they will be able to assess a woman for that. And we do have those limited circumstances.
Well, will they know, though? A serious risk. So, you know, Fiona Bloomer, very hard, I would presume. You can assess a risk at that time. You can assess the mental state of someone at that time, but you can't look into the future and assess their mental state in a year or 2 years' time.
Yeah, and I think this issue draws on the difficulties we've had with the lack of clear guidelines from the Department of Health for the health professionals. The Family Planning Association started legal action over a decade ago, you know, saying that the law was vague and subject to you know, misinterpretation, and medical professionals didn't know how to apply it. And so for over 10 years, we've been in a situation where there's no clear guidelines for medical professionals to enable them to interpret the law. I think that, you know, depending on how the ruling goes, it could end up, it's likely to have an immediate impact on health professionals in that they will be less reluctant to recommend abortion. So it might not have an immediate impact. And, you know, we know that another version of the guidelines is due to go out shortly. It's with the executive. And we don't know the exact details of that.
If this judge determines that that the law is incompatible with the European Convention of Human Rights, then that throws the ball back to the Assembly. What are the chances of them reaching a consensus? This
pretty low.
There you
pretty
go. The petitions of concern will be used, no doubt. All that type of malarkey.
Yes,
and so what happens after that?
Yeah, but I think the judge recognised that. I mean, he made it very clear. I was in court, and have read in detail, his judgment, and he did cite specifically, you know, the reluctance of the Northern Ireland Assembly to actually make an effective ruling on this and to actually progress legislation. So he made it clear he was dubious about the Northern Ireland Assembly being able to actually be effective in bringing about new legislation. And I think he made that pretty clear in his
Stephen, can I just say that possibly as well, you know, I mean, I know the word reluctance is being used in relation to the Assembly making this decision, but, I mean, maybe we could look at the bigger sort of circle here, which is maybe perhaps that's because, as Jim Dornan himself said on BBC's The View, that he actually said it's a fallacy to say that we know when life is going to end. And he said there's no textbook I know of, no doctor knows exactly when a fetus is going to die. And he also summed it up by saying the life of a few minutes can be as perfect as a life of 60 years. So, you know, I mean, this confusion around it, I think that says something, that what people are actually having a discussion about here is the life of an unborn person. And, you know, what you're talking about in a reluctance, if you like, of the Assembly is because they're looking at this and they're saying, well, yes, there is a woman here in traumatic circumstances, and there is also an unborn child. And what is the best that we can do for both of those in this situation?
And if you don't get your way today, will Life NI be considering a legal challenge themselves?
Well, obviously, we'll see what the judge says and what the ruling is. I mean, ultimately, what our goal is all the time is, we're not out to fight with people, Stephen, or anything like that. We are there for the woman and we're there for her child. And our main goal is to educate people about the development of life from conception, the development of life in the womb, and also the value of life at any stage. And really, our focus is perinatal hospice care and support and counselling for women.
All right, Marion, Fiona, very quickly, yeah.
I just want to come back on that point about what Professor Dornan said. He did not say that fetal abnormality cannot be defined. He said the point at which the fetus dies cannot be defined. And I think his comments actually added confusion over this matter. Fetal abnormality is recognised amongst the medical profession. It's at that point where that will end in a death. And it's the point in time. That's what his issue was. And I think a lot of people have seized on that and actually manipulated it to kind of confuse the argument.
Okay, Fiona, thank you. Marion, thank you. Morning to you both. Our reporter Nicola Weir is down at the court today. This landmark court ruling is due today. If it happens during our time, of course, we will bring it to you.